gospel lesson this morning comes from the fourth chapter of Luke's gospel, verses 21 through 30. Verses that may be familiar to you, but if they are familiar, try to hear them again for the first time. What are they speaking to you today as we gather for worship together? Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, question to start us out. Do you see a problem with the text I just read? No? Did you hear the text I just read? Obviously no. Okay, anyway. I want to read the beginning of it again because I want you to catch this. It's not easy to catch. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." You see the problem? Yeah. What is Jesus talking about? What is Jesus talking about? This scripture. What scripture? Okay, what we are seeing and experiencing here right now is the downside to following the lectionary. Because to know what scripture is this scripture, you need to be here last week. And one of you was here last week. To understand the gospel lesson on the fourth Sunday after Epiphany, you need to have heard the gospel lesson on the third Sunday after Epiphany. I know what you're thinking. Jay, it was icy. Cut us a break. Come on, we couldn't get out. We couldn't get out. We're sorry, it won't happen again. Please forgive us. And I do forgive you. Well, let me just say we missed you last week. We missed you. And in the interest of full disclosure, I need to tell you, we didn't even read that lectionary text anyway. The lectionary from third Sunday after Epiphany. But that's beside the point. The point is, in order to understand what Jesus is talking about when he says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," you need to back up a little bit. Back to these words that immediately precede. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Friends, it was Tuesday. Tuesday, June 22nd, 1993. Alan and I moved into the Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church parsonage up around the corner at 6401 Pleasant Pines Drive. Nearly 23 years ago. Unbelievable. And what is even more unbelievable than that is that if you look around this room, we had Harvest Gold carpet, but ignore that. This piano was not here yet, and the railing in the balcony was not here. Besides that, if you look around this room, it could be 1993. No comment. As you listen to the songs, with the exception of the one that we're closing with, this from the Faith We Sing, which was year 2000, the song's the same, the 529, How Firm a Foundation. We were singing that in 1993. The scriptures, the same. The Lord's Prayer, the same. Sharing joys and concerns and praying for one another, the same. Even the little chocolate Hershey Kiss thing, you thought I made that up. No. Doing that for years. 23 years of doxology, the same. We have lots of new folks here that have come over the last two decades, and we've added two services since that time and expanded the church staff, broadened our ministry, hopefully. But in essence, it's pretty much the same Pleasant Grove into which Alana and I walked in June of 1993. Sunday, June 27th, 1993 was our first Sunday with you in this sanctuary. And my first sermon in this pulpit used the text. Okay, y'all remember that one? Marilyn's the only one. The text for that first sermon in this pulpit was Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 23. Today, 21 to 30. Friends, things change. A lot of things change. That's life. But there are threads that help us to maintain some sense of continuity across the years. And in many ways, this is the same old Pleasant Grove that it's always been, and it was in 1993, because the threads found in the writings of Luke and other writers, threads that hold us together. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he went to the synagogue, as his custom was, on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and there was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Across the years, I have pondered with you the question of how we all of us, somehow made our way to Pleasant Grove from the various starting points of our lives. How did you end up here with me? How did I end up here with you? Time and time again, across the years, when I've posed that question, I've just been forced to throw up my hands, shake my head, and confess to you, I do not know. But however it is that we got here, my dear friends, many of you have been a part of my life and a part of my family's life for many years. Some of you have even been here putting up with me for nearly 23 years. Thank you, Marilyn Kennedy. And during those many years, you have seen and been with me, been with us, as the complexity of our lives have changed the course and the direction of those lives. Times during which answers were not forthcoming, and the best I could do was stammer out familiar words to assist me in the ordering of the chaos. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go. Over the past 23 years, Alan and I have been carried places that neither of us would have chosen to go if we had been given the choice. But we weren't given a choice. And now with the receipt of a new diagnosis, we head out yet again on another unplanned an unsolicited journey, but thankfully, some things don't change. Thankfully, here you are again, prepared to go with us. I told you not much has changed since 1993, with the exception of the carpet. You know, it never ceases to amaze me that my life landed me here in this place with you. I don't know how that worked itself out, but it did. And here we are. And here has proven to be a very sacred place indeed, a place in which and through which the grace of God is administered. But that shouldn't surprise me, as it does time and time and time again. It shouldn't, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Those who heard it said, "But isn't this Joseph's son? Come on. He can't be serious." And then some said, "Isn't this just little old Pleasant Grove? Come on. You can't be serious." Friends, there's a lot going on in Luke chapter 4. But as I read and reread these words again this past week, against the backdrop of the lives and the history that we share, it was the idea of the radicality of God's grace that seized my heart. And I looked that up. That is a word, folks. Radicality. Word checker said no, but it was. I checked it. Radicality. The radicality of God's grace today, here, now, in the ordinariness, also a word, of our lives, where and when we least expect it. Isn't this Joseph's son? What's going on? This is not how it's supposed to work. There's a script for this, isn't there? Doesn't God have a script? Maybe not. Maybe not. There were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow of Zarephath in Sidon, a Gentile. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha. None of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. A Gentile. No script. What's going on? Radicality's going on. So let me ask you, how did you get here? Well, that doesn't really matter, because you're here. You're here. Friends, life is hard. It's incredibly hard. And it takes us places where we'd rather not go. And the miracle of the chaos is that at this moment, our paths have merged. We have been drawn together to this place, and that has a profound meaning. It speaks to the reality of our shared humanity. We're broken. Every last one of us is broken. I'm convinced of that. And I'm convinced that everyone's life is a mess in its own way. And I say this over and over again, because it's one of the few things that I really, 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 really believe, because I've seen it bear itself out. Some of us are just better at hiding the mess than others. That's the only difference. That's the only difference. Sure, some of us are closer than others to where we want to be or thought we would be. But none of us are where we thought we'd be at this point in our lives. We have not arrived here unscathed. We're limping. We're all limping and bruised and battered. And we have been carried to an unplanned destination. Here we are. And it's here that the false dichotomies of sacred and profane, religious and secular, corporate and individual, have been exposed as just that, false. Our path is our path, and it has led us to this place, into the mess of each other's lives, into the darkness of each other's failures and tragedies and losses, and into the light of each other's hopes and dreams. All in the hope that we just might stumble together into the arms of God as we tend our fellow sheep, feed our fellow lambs, and in so doing find life. How does that work? I don't know. I do not know. It just does, if you allow it to do so. When the time came, Jesus stood, moved to the front of the room, unrolled the scroll carefully, located the day's lectionary reading, and then began to read the words from the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the synagogue attendant, and sat down. Teachers always sat down. Everybody else was standing. They waited. They waited for His comment, eagerly, anxiously. And then He spoke. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Today. What a perfect text for Epiphany. Because Luke 4 is a call for us, the people of God, the followers of Christ, the body of Christ, to manifest Christ. Today, it's calling our bluff. It's a call to participate here and now. It's not about the good old days. It's not about the bright future. Those are great. But it's about today. As you know, we have a mission statement. And as you know, mission statements are first and foremost ontological statements, statements of being. It is a statement that proclaims existence. So when you strip away everything else, what you're left with is your mission. You're left with yourself. It is that which cannot be taken away without destroying who you are. Friend, our mission statement at Pleasant Grove is a very simple one, and probably most of you could recite it from heart. It reads, "We exist to be the body of Christ in the world." That's who we are. If we don't do that, we're not being who we're called to be, who we are. So I would like to add one more word to the end of that statement. And that word is today. Today. We exist to be the body of Christ in the world. Today. Thank you. Thank you for sharing God's grace with me and with Alana and with our family today and every day. You have sustained us and you will sustain us. So thanks be to God for a community called Pleasant Grove. And thanks be to God for you. Amen.